Everybody has a podcast.
Monday night, 4th of March, 9:33. Hope all of you had a good weekend. Good week. Ooh, man, Monday already. God. It's all right, though. Gonna have a good week, great week, right?
Jay Wiggy, take out the trash!
I'm with you, Graham Mills. I think it's gonna be a great week. Weather has been flip-flop, hip-hop, every which way outside. Nice and sunny, kind of humid today. Been cold, rainy tomorrow. It's been a little bit of everything the past week, so I wish it could just make up its mind. But Grant Mills, you sound good. You sound like you're in good spirits. How was your weekend?
Wasn't bad, man. Checked out the Museum of Art. Looked at the Lord Wedgwood exhibit. Didn't do too much really, man. Just kind of took it easy and had a lazy weekend. How about yourself?
Yeah, the same. Kind of lazy weekend. Next few days I'll be out in North Kakalaki for some work travel just for 2 or 3 days. And no big deal after that. And then Saturday, I'm going to try to get with you on some dinner downtown.
You need to. You keep saying that, but you are a bullshitter.
No, I already got the... I watched
Oh, man, is this with the fighting boys?
Yeah, this will be, okay.
I got you.
We'll have a little squad, hang out, just to chill, break a little bread. I was thinking maybe some pizza pie down at Pies and Pints.
Street Fighters.
Street Fighter. So sounds good.
Shit.
Oh gosh, that sounds like Wiss is coming.
He is coming. Where is he? I think he is on the line. Hold on a second. I know you do. I know you do. How's your weekend?
I mean, it's pretty good. Ain't too much. And I mean, we went to the park and I picked some roses for baby. And, you know, we had a picnic. And, pretty good.
That sounds, I don't know. That sounds pleasant, I guess.
It's pleasant, yeah. Not,
it's pretty romantic.
You know what movie I saw over the weekend? Do you remember this movie, The Princess Bride?
I do, yeah. Andre the Giant.
What do you think about that? That's a pretty good movie, man. Here's the thing about my I might have a skewed view of this movie because I was in day school back in the day, you know, when you're a kid and like your parents' work, so I had to put you somewhere for the summer when you didn't have school. So I'd go to this church and that was one of the movies, I swear to God. I've seen this movie probably 1,700 times. But like I've seen it so much that like it, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a great, I don't know, man. Like, it's like a classic to me, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. Cause I've seen the movie. I don't remember it very well. Cause I was so young and I haven't watched it as an adult. It's a movie I need to get down on because everybody speaks about it so glowingly. So,
Wow. I've seen it so many times. I'm just like, man, everybody didn't see this movie 2,500 times when they were a kid. You know, fucking great movie though, man. Fucking great, dude. It's way better than The Notebook. Well, it's got swashbuckling up in there, a six-fingered man. So yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of got the little Goonies vibe to it, it sounds like.
This is a great movie, man. Mandy Patinkin was in there. I am Emilio Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. So, I don't know, man. But it's like, I guess if you watch anything as a kid so much, you have that. We always talk about the nostalgia factor on this show. That's definitely with that movie right there, man. Because, I don't know, dude. I've seen that movie so many fucking times, but
I need to see it. I'm gonna make that a goal of mine. Maybe one movie.
So you haven't seen it at all, or you've seen it and probably
I've seen it. It's just one of those that I don't remember. I was so young, I don't remember anything about it. There's several movies that I know I've seen, but if you ask me to reference it, because I remember Andre the Giant, I remember because as kids we all used to go out on the playground and do the whole, you know, my name is Inigo Montoya, all that shit, what you said. Because everybody, that was a classic line. And then the six-fingered man. So, I remember seeing it. But if you ask me anything about it, I'd only remember the popular pieces that have been ingrained in my head and ingrained in pop culture over the years. So I need a refresh and watch. And I know all that familiarity will come back.
Me and Biden are going to watch it tonight.
I knew it. I knew it. Wiss the romantic. Yeah, that's so awesome. Definitely a good movie. Check that out. How cute was Fred Savage back in the day, man? God, what a cute kid. I ain't gay, man. But I was like, damn, dude, that fool's cute as hell. And then had Columbo there. Man, come on, dude. There's a lot of celebrity cameos in that movie too, like Billy Crystal. You said Andre the Giant. I know there's some others that I'm not thinking of right now, but
yeah, man, movies back then had so much imagination to them and really almost, I don't want to say whimsical, that's not a great word, creative, just seemed a lot better than movies today that rely on special effects. And you know, it was great when you had like a big name, Andre the Giant, you're like, oh shit, he's in a movie, we gotta go see that motherfucker.
They've run out of ideas. They're remaking every damn thing. So
yeah, and they're remaking it even worse than it ever was.
Yeah, trying to change everything and make it like politically correct and all this shit. Just stop it. Name it something else and move on. Make it an original movie, whatever it is. Stop trying to ride the clout of the old movie, knowing it's not going to be nowhere near as good.
Yeah, we just need to have some good creative writers out there come up with some imaginative new material. There's a couple of things that have come out in the past couple of years that I think have a pretty good vibe. Stranger Things, I think, is pretty unique. Obviously, that's a television series or Netflix series. But I think it's unique, it's creative, and maybe I like it because it is the 80s and references that. But yeah, I think they have one more season. I think it's the final season. I don't know when it is, but I do know it's coming. Did you ever get into it?
Nah. It's one of those, it's way too popular, and I'm like, nah.
I get that way.
I think like it's overhyped, you know? So,
I think it's really good. I think it meets or exceeds the hype. So I'm very critical of movie or TV shows. I rarely get into anything, but Stranger Things is definitely up there with one of my favorites. And I think you would like it too, because you're a little more of an 80s baby than I am. It's in the 80s. So a lot of great references to the 80s and that time period. So it makes it fun, man. I think it definitely, meets the hype. There's a little bit too much Dungeons and Dragons shit in there, and I don't get into all that bullshit, but
I know it's got that guy that was in that fucking weird Santa movie where he kills everybody. He's pretty cool, I guess. And I think he was Hellboy too, but man, come on, dude.
Wait, Ron Perlman?
No, like the new Hellboy, they like redid it. You know how they we're just talking about
it. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Like, man, you can't. Ron Perlman, first of all, classic Hellboy. The first Hellboy, that was a damn good movie. Hellboy 2 wasn't bad, but the first Hellboy was fucking classic shit. So,
yeah. Ron Perlman, good actor too.
Great fucking actor, man. Great fucking actor. I did have sex with a girl this weekend.
Oh, tell us all about it.
Yes. So,
yes.
She was so old, her birth certificate said expired. well, I know y'all like that one, so yeah. So you had a good when are you going to North Khaki? Is that later on this week?
No, that's in the morning. I'm gonna drive up there. Yeah, so but only
gotta get up.
No, tomorrow's just a travel day, so I'm probably gonna leave around. I'll probably go to the gym and shit too around 9 or 10 tomorrow morning, get that out of the way, and then just drive up there and just chill. They give us the travel day, that's kind of nice. Then I'm going to just a full work day on Wednesday, then a half day Thursday, and then I'll head back Thursday night. Man, you know what? They're pretty cool about, I think most works are. You know, they gave me the option if I wanted to fly or drive or, you know, fly up there, get a rental car up there. But dude, you know, the closer you are, especially when you're not in a major hub, like we're not, it takes longer to fly these short little regional routes, because going from Birmingham to Charlotte, you have to go through like ATL and there's a layover, or go through like Chicago Midway. I couldn't find a direct flight on these dates from Birmingham to Charlotte. So I was like, fuck, I'll just drive it.
There you go.
Yeah, which is not bad drive at all. But, you know, when you're there just for Tuesday and then you're leaving Thursday, man, I'm just making 2 6-hour drives and that span's like, yeah, come on.
I hear you, man. I hear you. You got your meal prep ready? I seen the old lady had a bunch of granola and shit going.
Yeah, she got it ready. I didn't have.
Is that breakfast? What is that?
I think it is breakfast. I couldn't remember. I didn't even ask her what she had done. I did not do mine this week since I'll be on the road and be eating out and stuff. Probably get some
your favorite again.
Chick-fil-A.
Man, get that salt in. Get that 2,400 milligrams of salt in one meal item.
You got to
get that in before you end your day. Oh, shit.
Oh, no. I did do something, though, I think you might have an interest in. I got my hair cut, and it wasn't from Roger Harry.
Man, where'd you go?
Oh, I had to go local. I had to go Sports Clips.
No, they fuck it up.
No, she did a great job. Here's the thing. So I actually, lesson learned, I was trying to, I actually had a haircut this week, this Friday. And I was looking last week. I'm like, my hair will be straight till then. Man, it just seems like over this past weekend, or late last week, I was like, no, it's going to look like shit. I got a business meeting next week. You know, we're meeting. We're a new team that I'm working with and stuff, man. You know, I got to actually talk on some shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck. It's not looking good.
You got to present.
I've got some things I got to talk about. Nothing specific, but you know how it is. Just a few things that I got to bring up. So I was like, man, this sucks. And I looked at Roger Harry's, you know, how you can do the online scheduling. And try to see if there was anything before, you know, between late last week and before I left. Man, he had nothing. He was booked up completely. I was like, shit. So my wife actually goes to another guy similar to him, kind of a little mid-upscale kind of guy. And, man, he didn't have anything either. And so I was going to, you know, give him a try. I was like, oh, man. So, man, I let it go down to the wire. I was like, shit. You know what? I'm just, you know, I'll see how they do. They can't fuck it up completely, right? She actually did a good job, man. She actually did a pretty good job. It's not a Roger Harry job. I'm only paying $25, not 10,000. But she did a good job. But here's the thing. Now that I've gone to him so long, I kind of know what to tell her a little bit better.
So you're done with Roger Harry?
I don't think I can be. I did move my appointment for 2 weeks from, or 2 or 3 weeks from now. I don't know, man. It's when you've been accustomed to that quality, it's hard. Are you done? Or are you going to keep going?
No, I got mine scheduled. I'm just going to pull back a bit, like instead of twice a month, once a month, which I don't know that I went twice a month anyway, to be honest. So, you know, my shit been growing out, man. I look like a, I don't know, man. I look like this shit. It's, you know, when your hair's long, man, it takes a longer time to fix it in the bathroom, you know?
Yes.
You got to kind of like
synchronize
the strands up. I don't know, man. It's just, it's a lot more of a pain in the ass, but.
That's the point I got faded at. I think you and I have similar hair, maybe textures. I've always, when I was a kid in middle school, I was actually jealous of the people who were real thin, thinning, but like thinner hair that actually, they could just comb and shake their hair. You know, mine's pretty thick and you can't really just do that. You can't just like run a comb through it and it looks good, man. You got to actually like brush that motherfucker.
Yeah, that shit's fucked up. I got that Asian boy bamboo hair. Like it's like fucking.
I'm probably not far behind you. I got that kind of Asian boy bamboo hair. It's but man, and that's the problem though, that I can tell one thing with this type of cut, that's a cheaper cut. She didn't really, where Roger Harry actually, you know, kind of layers. I mean, he fades it. That's what it is, you know, but he actually really details that fade. So when it does grow out, it kind of still has that taper. Even if it's pushing out, it's still kind of tapered a bit, if you know what I'm saying, on the side. So it still doesn't look that bad. Whereas most of these places, like the cheaper, you know, haircut, she kind of did the bottom a little bit and then she just kind of buzzed the side with one. The problem with that is when it grows out, it's all growing out one length. So it's going to be really like, but I don't know, circle head and shit. Going like a helmet on my head. So, but no, she did a good job. I told her what, you know, I kind of showed her a picture of what I had before. I always take a picture afterwards. Saw that. Roger Harry said, man, I know that's a long, I know you're shocked. Didn't think I would do it, but yeah, it's, I don't think I can leave him. Not yet. Unless I find somebody else that could replace him.
Yeah. That's a hard gig there. You know?
Yeah. It's the detail, man. Devil's in the details. And that's one thing I noticed, like the little foil razor that he uses around the full screen mesh razor, whatever the hell it is, around at the end and really tightens up those lines. You know, obviously that didn't happen at the
spot. Oh, yeah, he's going to get it right, man. Like, he's going to stay and get it right. That's the main thing I noticed between him and my last girl. Like, she would mail it in, dude. She didn't do it. She's attention to detail is, like, a big thing with him.
Yeah. So, he's great at it.
Consistent. He's going to do, like, each time is the same shit. Like, you know what you're getting exactly.
Yeah. You know what you're going to get. And he's, you know. He doesn't fuck around with it, man. He does a really good job. So there are some other ones closer to me. That's the only thing with him, though, man. If you make, like, sometimes if work comes up or if I got kid shit, dad duty and stuff to do, and I got to make a scheduling, man, when you get off that book, dude, you might as well wait. You might as well plan on waiting 10 days. 2 weeks. I mean, because his week's already booked. So it's tough. And so I did book it out an extra, 2 weeks from now? Actually, almost 3 weeks, a little Friday 22nd to go back just to clean up the ship. But she did a good job. It'll work for now, but I don't know.
There you go. Let's check out the news. News and
yes,
as far as video game news, we might have a little bit of that too. So let's go ahead and get into it. Welshman breaks world record with 69 rabbit tattoos. It's by Ben Hooper. That's a weird rabbit. A Welshman showed his love for his favorite animal by getting a record-breaking 69 different tattoos of rabbits on his body. Craig Evans, 42, said he got his first rabbit tattoo in 2009, and now he has a total of 69 rabbits inked on his arms, legs, and chest. Quote, "I love the aesthetic of a rabbit," end quote. Evans told the Guinness World Records, quote, "They're such cute creatures. And a juxtaposition of getting something so cute as a tattoo, which is usually renowned for being a tough person thing, is something I really like." End quote. He said he cannot have a pet rabbit right now. And unfortunately, I don't have any pet rabbits, as I have a terrier called Birdie. Oh, probably would fuck him up. I don't think that would be a good pairing, but I love him very much, he says. Evan said Birdie is the subject of his only non-rabbit tattoo, but even that tattoo shows a canine wearing a bunny bandana to, quote, "keep the theme running." All right. Well, I don't... We got a friend that likes frogs. you know who that is, right?
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. They were all over his house and miniatures and statue forms as a kid, right?
Yeah, he had stuffed animals and everything.
That's weird.
I hear rabbit's pretty tasty. Rabbit and chocolate sauce. Like a dark chocolate sauce.
Have you had rabbit before?
Thin rabbit. You know what? I'm trying to remember. I don't think I have. I heard it's quite gamey.
Yeah, I had it, fresh one time. One of my old supervisors, when we worked in property maintenance, we had a little garden out there, and this is actually Duck's dad, you know him, and he actually went out and shot the rabbit that was eating in the garden, and he cooked it up down there.
Hmm.
I gave everybody a little bite.
Pretty gamey or what? What did it taste like?
Yeah, pretty gamey. It wasn't the worst thing ever, though. I mean, it was definitely meat. You know, they got that, what is that, the hair poisoning? It's so lean, and there's no fat. If you're in a survival situation, you cannot just live off of rabbit.
That I did not know.
Yeah, there's something weird about that. I was trying to come up with some kind of pun about it, but I could not come up with shit.
Okay.
But that's true. If you're out in a survival situation, you have to have more than just rabbit. But yeah, it really is called something like hair poisoning or something like that. It's too lean. Some bullshit.
All right, cool. Kind of learned something there.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if this is, I guess it'd be a world record, maybe. Wisconsin man's lifetime Big Mac consumption hits 34,128 Big Macs there. And you can look at this on YouTube. This guy looks weird. The Wisconsin man is Ben Hooper again on the article. The Wisconsin man holds the Guinness World Records title for the most McDonald's Big Macs eaten in a lifetime, extended his record by eating more than 700 of the burgers in 2023. Guinness World Records says Fond du Lac resident Donald Gorski 728 Big Macs over the course of 2023, bringing his lifetime total to 34,128 Big Macs.
That's ridiculous.
Gorski, who has saved his the receipt and package from every Big Mac he has eaten, first tried the McDonald's signature burger on May 17th, 1972. Quote, in that moment, he said, I'm probably going to eat these for the rest of my life. I threw the carton in the back seat and started counting them from day one, he told GWR. Gorski has held the record since 1999, said his eating habits have changed over time. He used to eat up to 9 of the sandwiches a day, but these days he usually stops at 2. 9 a day, Jesus.
9 a day, my God.
That's insane. Quote, people who have watched me eating a Big Mac often comment that I look like I'm eating one for the very first time. Of course, he isn't opposed to trying new things. He once ate a Burger King Whopper in 1984, but decided it was just not as good. Quote, when I like something, I stick with it all the time, end quote. Of course, he said he hasn't suffered any ill health effects from his unusual diet and still maintains his physique by abstaining from French fries. Many people thought I'd be dead by now, but instead I've recorded, I've been a record holder for my 24th year, one of Guinness World Records' longer running record holders, so that's pretty cool to me, he said. Yeah, I don't know how the hell he ain't dead. He's not a big old dude either, man.
You know what? I'm pretty certain I saw this on like an Inside Edition or one of those shows a couple of years ago, and I was shocked because he's not like a big fat guy or anything like that. He seems like a normal looking guy, but man, he love a Big Mac.
They're just not that good, man. It's too much bread.
Yeah, I don't get down on a Big Mac.
I don't even eat McDonald's anymore. I don't know when the last time I ate McDonald's.
I couldn't think about it. I have zero idea when the last time I ate a McDonald's was.
The kid doesn't like it. Where do they? What kind of shit does the kid eat?
What kind of shit do the kids eat?
Are they like Chick-fil-A, Daddy?
If we go fast food and that's not much, CFA's up there, probably some grilled nuggets or something. But man, not really. Like tonight, I grabbed some salmon this afternoon and I did the grilled salmon bites. So I don't understand. Sometimes, especially with an air fryer, cooking in that air fryer or even the oven, but the air fryer is great. It's cheaper and faster just to run to the store, grab some shit. I mean, I've got like a small chunk of salmon, $9. Was able to feed the kids and keep a little bit for myself. Chop it up. Had some strawberries and a couple other little things we already had. So, yeah, and going to go spend $15 at Mickey D's. I don't eat that bullshit.
Yeah, with the prices of everything, shit's expensive now anyway.
Yeah, they always scam art and shit. But they say some stuff about Wendy's.
It's fucking cheap, man. I'm going to pay fucking $18 for a Big Mac meal. Hell crazy as hell.
Playing games. I live here.
That's some old bullshit right there.
When do you think the last time you ate at McDonald's was?
Probably in a couple of years, maybe.
Yeah, it's probably. I think the last time I can remember. I will take this back. Probably about a year ago, I got breakfast there, but I don't really count their breakfast. I think I got some hotcakes and sausage and a hash brown, which I'm not telling you that's good or bad, but everybody's breakfast is going to be about the damn same. You know what? It counts as eating at McDonald's, but I actually had a McDonald's like nuggets and fries and shit like that. A couple of years ago, I was doing work, I think in Georgia and some rural ass town, and I think that was the only thing there. And I just, stopped and had to grab some nugs or something. It was okay. It wasn't, you just feel like shit eating it.
I'll get the breakfast burrito, yeah.
Yeah, breakfast burrito's rough.
I ain't eating that shit.
Chick-fil-A's got a good breakfast burrito. I know I always talk shit about Chick-fil-A, but that thing's quite girthy. And if I was going to get breakfast, man, that's what I'd hit up. That's pretty good, man. They don't look nothing like no McDonald's burrito, man, but.
Yeah, I think breakfast anywhere, it's hard to go wrong. I mean, Jack's has really good breakfast. Actually, probably Jack's is probably one of my favorite breakfast places. Chick-fil-A is okay. Mickey D's, I think their flapjacks are still good. Mickey D's has some nostalgia for me too, though. When I was a kid in the summertime and I'd go into work with my granddad, he'd always buy me and he did it older, but little, you know, he bought me and M. Wiggy Mickey D's breakfast, and he'd put us up in like the little office, and we'd have hot cakes and sausage while watching TV and shit.
Nice.
Oh, the 80s and the 90s.
Miss a man. These days suck.
Yes, they do.
So, I'm looking at some of this video game news, but it's really not that great. Nothing really going on in the video game world. I know we talked about NCAA last time, and it's coming about this summer. That'll be cool. And we're still just waiting that out, you know? Waiting on that to come.
They said 10,000 players so far have opted in. Is that right?
That does sound right.
Yeah, I believe it's 10,000, so that's pretty damn cool. I think it's going to be a legendary game. I think they're going to do really well. I would be heartbroken if it is somehow a bust.
Yeah. Well, for all you college basketball fans out there, look, there is a game on tonight, Texas versus Baylor. Look, like Baylor's up by 4 points right now in the second. I don't know. What do they have? Second, they do it by halves or?
It's about quarters.
I don't know. I never, not a big basketball guy, so.
Yeah, I don't watch that bullshit.
Well, we got a little video game news here. Nintendo emulator settles civil dispute. Must pay millions.
No.
This one is by Levi Winslow. Tropic Haze must hand over the Switch Games emulator. Emulator's website to the Mario Maker. Nintendo and the people behind a game emulator, Yuzu, have agreed to settle a lawsuit after a short civil dispute in district court over allegations that the software allowed folks to illegally download Tears of the Kingdom over 1 million times. On February 26, Nintendo filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court of Rhode Island against Tropic Haze, the company behind a game emulator, Yuzu, for, quote, unlawfully circumventing the handheld console's hybrid protective measures. In it, Nintendo alleged that Tropic Haze profited extensively from, quote, illegally obtained copies of Switch games, including smash hit The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Now, in new legal documentation, the two entities, Nintendo and Tropic Haze, have seemingly settled the short-lived dispute. So, there you go. With that, and according to the filing, Tropic Haze must pay Nintendo $2.4 million. The developers must also stop offering Yuzu, hand over the emulator's website, and, quote, modify any Nintendo Switch consoles to Nintendo and not attempt anything like this again. Quote, this permanent injunction constitutes a binding court order, and any violations of this order by the defendant or its members will subject them to the full scope of this court's contempt authority, including punitive, coercive, and monetary sanctions. The filing reads, it still needs the judge's approval, but should everything go through, this effectively spells the end of Tropic Haze and Yuzu as we know it. The team said as much in a Twitter post on March the 4th. So, looks like that's the end of them. If you guys, you know, use that ashy, but I never even heard of it, man. I mean, I've dealt with emulators and done some video game stuff, but nothing like that. So it's kind of like, Dad, you're pretty much, I'm not into video games like that. So, no. Yeah. They getting on it, getting into it.
Yeah. Yeah, not to that extent. Well, that kind
of sucks, yeah, for people who like doing that. But tis what it is.
Tis what it is.
Here's what her name's. Here's what her name is. Oh. All right. Well, let's we'll take a short break here, folks. So if you need to use the bathroom, get some beer, or
take a shot.
I don't know if you do drugs, but whatever. Get whatever you need. And we will be back here in a moment. I was looking at this UFL. That's about to start getting back. And I think XFL, was that Arlington that won? Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. So, what is the UFL? Teams, logos, coaches, stadiums, players. Well, we got the Arlington Renegades. That's the champions for 2023 XFL. Stadium, Choctaw Stadium, Coach Bob Stoops. I don't know about this quarterback listing here. I guess it is. You know, this is Holton Ahlers, Luis Perez, and Drew Plitt. Lindsey Scott. Only one I know out of that room is Luis Perez. Because I think he played with Birmingham for a little bit.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
And they got Birmingham Stallion from the USFL, and they are the champions of last year. Quarterback room is interesting. Matt Corral, Adrian Martinez, Jalen Morton, and Jamar Smith.
Corral was a good quarterback, great quarterback in college. Not legendary, but good quarterback, interesting, fun to watch. So I think that's good for the Stallions.
He get drafted.
Did you see they also got a couple other Bama guys? Notoriously, Bo Scarborough. Birmingham had him. He was injured last year. He was there the initial year, injured most of last year. But they also got Slade Bolden, wide receiver from Bama. You remember Slade a couple years ago?
Yeah. Did he get into the league? Did he get drafted?
I don't think he got drafted. He signed with the Ravens, undrafted free agent, and on injured reserve for a minute, signed with the Falcons and waived. So didn't really have much of a career in the league. Good little possession, wide receiver. Seems like he would have fit into a Bill Belichick Patriots offense as a small white guy.
Yeah, Matt Corral seems like he gets hurt a lot. but, I mean, he put just his kind of style of play. And it looks like he was drafted in the third round the Carolina Panthers in 22. Yeah. So he has been in the league for a minute. It's really weird, the NFL. You got to find – it's hard, man. You got to find – it's so many variables, you know. And you got to have – you got to just be in the right place at the right time sometimes, man. Like, it's all got to line up.
Yeah, the stars have to line for you in a lot of ways. And if you also look at Birmingham's roster, they have linebacker Curtis Weaver. Cleveland
See
Browns.
Weaver.
Yeah, see Weaver. Cleveland Browns guy, 2022, spent his last year with the Vikings. So he'll be an interesting addition to the Stallions as well. Wave from the Vikings. Linebacker Curtis Weaver.
Be on the lookout for him, folks. And we got the DC Defenders. Now, who is that quarterback? He's not even in there anymore. The quarterback room is DeAndre Francois, Jalen McClendon, and Jordan Tamu. Seems like he's been in the XFL forever. But I know this is UFL now. DeAndre Francois was from FSU. And I don't remember Jalen McClendon.
I don't remember McClendon. Tamu, for sure, remember. He was another Ole Miss product. I think he was a good quarterback. He finished second, ranked in the SEC behind Tua. Was that his senior season? And Tua actually played in three more games. So you're right. A lot of these guys, either they just don't transition well into the league, or they're put on a team that just doesn't fit their style. Because, I mean, he was a really good quarterback. I would have actually said in college he was, good to excellent. So be interesting to see him. This is also a really good stomping ground for some of these guys to get their names back out there and get re-signed to the league. And they're making decent money, too. I mean, what did we say? $60,000 a year, a season, something like that?
I wonder how their health insurance goes, though. Like,
I believe we talked about it on the show last year. I looked at it, and I cannot remember exactly how it did, but I do think they get insurance. I think The Rock actually made that a part of when he was doing the XFL, making sure they're getting a steady paycheck and insurance, things like that. So I think they do. I mean, if you're playing football for $60,000 a year, dude, if I could play football, I would rather quit my job and play for $60,000 a year in a heartbeat. Have fun with it. But who else does DC have that's on the staff? Jordan Tiamu, most notably. Let me kind of gaze through the roster here.
They did have Cardale Jones, but he's a bust, man. I think he's in the IFL now or something. So,
damn,
I don't know, dude. And he looked like he'd be a good quarterback. Man. 6'5", big, 250, big, prototypical NFL. It was just no good in the XFL.
Yeah. Do you think this season, with the merger, that we're going to see more asses in the seats in the stadium? Or do you think it's just going to be kind of, it's on TV, I'll watch it, and, kind of half-filled stadiums?
I hope we see some more folks, Maybe it'll – hopefully that's, it'll get more people – to come out and watch and kind of give that spring football more of a chance, make that into something that's viable, hopefully. I think that'd be good because, that time in between football seasons is just brutal. Need something.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to do well. I think the merger was smart. I think couple of executive heads leading this thing are better than one. And really, I think the teams are – you've got them in good spots. I mean, Birmingham, Houston, Memphis, Detroit, Arlington. All right, this is sounding like the murder capitals. Arlington, D.C., St. Louis. Okay, maybe they're not in the best spots. But, went to two or three games last season, had a great time. I thought it was really fun. So we'll definitely go to one. I think we talked about there's one in April for the Stallions. I think it's their second home game. Maybe it's their first because they're not playing exclusively in Birmingham anymore, which kind of sucks. But you know, it'd be fun to watch them go out and see how well they do this year. Let me try to find their schedule. What's it look like? What'd it look like?
Yeah. So Houston, Roughnecks, it's the next one. Quarterback Ram, Jared Guarantano, Nolan Henderson, and Reed Sinnett. I've only heard of Justin Guarantano, but he throws nothing but picks. Got the Memphis Showboats, Case Cookus, Cole Kelly, and Troy Williams in that quarterback room. Dylan Moses on the Showboats? Huh.
Dylan Moses, huh? Haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. Sure haven't. Huh, that's interesting. We got the Michigan Panthers, quarterback room, Davis Cheek, Danny Itling, Brian Lewerke, and E.J. Perry. I don't know any of them except Danny Itling is kind of familiar. And then, where did he play? Is it Clemson?
I can't. Yeah, sounds familiar. I was looking back at Moses. Man, he was a highly excitable five-star recruit going to Alabama, originally committed to LSU. And, I think he had some medical issues and stuff. Man, I remember everybody was excited about him because he came out of IMG as, big-time prospect. So, ended up going undrafted in 2021. Man, that's a shame. So, now with the Steamboats.
Maybe you can make it on a roster somewhere, man.
I'm pulling for him.
So that'd be good. San Antonio Brahmas.
I got one more interesting name before we go to the Brahmas. Really, really quick. You know who's on the Memphis Showboats roster? You might know this name. Vinny Papale. You remember who this is? It's the son of Vince Papale. The movie Invincible?
Is that Marky Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The guy that is based off, the actual Vince Papale, his son, Vinny Papale, he's also on the Showboats.
Nice.
Yeah, wide receiver. All right, what about them Brahmas?
What about them Brahmas?
What about them, yeah.
What about them? What about them?
What do you?
I bought some new Jordans parked laying on the highway, yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and go to the St. Louis Battlehawks. This is interesting because A.J. McCarron is actually back in the quarterback room now. I heard he left the Cincinnati Bengals to come back and be the man. He's done a long time being a backup, though, so he's made his money, man. Got a fine-ass wife, couple kids.
Living the dream, man. He hasn't had to take too many licks. He's still in the show to a degree. He's having, you know, and this is nice, man. Everybody knows who he is, and he's just having fun at this point, enjoying the hell out of it. Why not?
Yeah, he's not gonna start for any NFL team at this point. But yeah, so we'll see what he does. I know I can't remember. Did they make it to the championship? He was 7-3 last year. So, yeah, that I'll be looking at them because they were pretty good. And, I mean, that's just an interesting story, man. He just wants to play ball, man. Can't hate on that. So, yeah,
have fun with it, man. I mean, there's always a good quote. One of my favorite movies, Moneyball. You like Moneyball? Have you seen it?
I have not seen that.
Great movie. Really, really good movie, but they're talking to a younger version of the star, Brad Pitt, but when he was getting recruited for baseball at a high school to the majors because he was a five-tool player. And one of the scouts, they're talking about going to college or going to go ahead and signing. And they made a good point. It resonates with me. And it's a good quote. He says, you know, it's either at 18 maybe, it could be at 40, but at some point we're all told, you know, we can't play baseball anymore. And he's like, you know, you never know what it's going to be, 18, 20, or 40. He's like, doesn't matter. We're all told. So, you know, you kind of got to make your decision. You don't know when it is. I kind of feel like that's McCarron, man. I think he's just hanging on to that you know, the sunset years of his career. While he still got it, he's not what he was at Bama, and maybe even early in his NFL career if he was really much there. But, you know, he's still in the show and having fun with it. Man, let the man live.
Yes, he spent 9 seasons in the NFL. Most recently with the Bengals in 23. I think that's – he's been there a long time. And then I think he had a couple stints maybe elsewhere and came back maybe. Not sure, but don't quote me on there. We threw for 2,150 yards and 24 touchdown passes for the Battle Hawks last year. And other players to watch got Akeem Butler. And that's the only one I see that I recognize. So, should be an interesting season. It's gonna come up here. So, all 8 teams will report to the league's headquarters in Arlington. Practice at surrounding facilities. Teams will be allowed a 75-man roster. Once the season begins, regular season, the rosters will be cut to 50 players per team. Cool. Arlington-based facilities will continue to serve as practice sites during the regular season. Teams will travel to their home markets for games only. Oh, 50. What's the NFL? 60, right?
Think so.
Yeah. So you're going to have 4 teams from USFL and 4 from the XFL, which we just went over. And that's how that's going to break down. So, well, it's going to be interesting. And we'll see you guys get back in the league and kind of how that goes.
Yeah,
opening week. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's going to be a fun – I think if you haven't watched a USFL or an XFL game and now UFL, give it a shot. It's pretty good football, and if you're local to any of those cities that they're in, go check it out. I think the tickets are pretty cheap, but every time I've had a good time and always tell myself I'll be back next week to check it out. And I actually went to a couple last year, but, you know, be a fun guys' night in the next coming weeks or whenever they have. I'm going to check out the schedule for the Stallions in our neck of the woods. But for you guys, whoever it is, man, go out, get a hat, get a shirt. Enjoy it because it's football in the offseason, and now you don't have to try to decide if the XFL or USFL is actually better and flip channels. They're together. ESPN, Fox, FS1. Give them a shot.
You think they'll have the beer snake still? Was that XFL or USFL?
I thought the XFL did that. I don't think the USFL did it. But yeah, I hope they do, man. That should be fun to see.
The beer snake.
We got to get Jarvis up one weekend maybe to come and watch the watch some games.
Well, that would be cool. We don't have a Florida team, do they?
I don't see one. I don't think they do.
Damn. Seems like they would. That's weird.
Actually, I was going to say the same thing. Maybe like a Tampa team or somewhere. Or Orlando actually seems to fit the it pretty good. Yeah. They seem like they would. Let's see. Birmingham's first home game, Saturday, April 13th, against the Memphis Showboats. That's a 7 Eastern. So, yeah.
Yeah. The opening week schedule is Saturday, March 30th, Birmingham Stallions at the Arlington Renegades. At 12 Central, 1 Eastern. And you got the St. Louis Battlehawks at Michigan Panthers at 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. Fox, both Fox. Sunday, you got DC Defenders at San Antonio Brahmas at noon on ESPN. That's Eastern, so that'll be 11 Central. Memphis Showboats at Houston Roughnecks, 3 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, 2 p.m. Central Time. For all y'all fools.
Yeah, we actually got a 4:20 game, DC Defenders and the Stallions in Birmingham, 6 p.m. kickoff. So celebrating 4:20, down with the home team. 20.
There you go.
I mean, I'll be blazing, yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. Oh. We had a listener here, Sweet Angel Bear, that actually hung around for a minute. She's gone now, but man, that was usually they come in for like 5 seconds and out. So she stayed around. Shout out to you. You're not here right now, but sweet Angel Bear, thank you for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. Hope you have a good evening. All right. So what we got? We got a vintage game review.
Fuck yeah.
On deck. All right, now this is not an old game, but a new game from an old game. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. Now, this bad boy was developed and published by Ubisoft. Of course, part of the Prince of Persia series. It was released for Nintendo Switch, PS4, PS5, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series XS on the 18th of January, 2024. Basically a 2.5D side-scrolling action-adventure platform video game. The game's protagonist, Sargon, can jump, slide, and air dash to travel between platforms. He wields a pair of blades, which he uses to defeat enemies. Well-timed parries help charge Sargon's Aethra's Glow, which allows him to unleash a special ability. When fully charged, he has access to several time-based powers, which can be used in both combat and platforming. Rush of Smearer allows Sargon to instantly dash forward through time, while Shadow of Smearer allows him to place a shadow marker, which serves as a temporary checkpoint that players can return to instantaneously. Sargon can equip talismans and Sargons can equip talismans that alter his abilities. The Lost Crown features Metroidvania elements, as the game world is interconnected and filled with shortcuts and secret rooms. Players must solve puzzles as well to progress. As players explore the game world, they find time crystals, which can be used to purchase upgrades for Sargon's weapon. While players might not immediately have the tools or skills to overcome an obstacle, they can return to it once they have means to overcome it. Players can take screenshots and pin them to the game's map, allowing them to recognize and remember unsolved puzzles they have encountered. Basically, Prince of Persia's Lost Crown introduces a hero named Sargon, a young member of a warrior clan named the Immortals. Sargon must travel to the cursed city of Mount Quaff. Mount Quaff to rescue the kidnapped Prince Gaston. I downloaded this bad boy because we did a review on the original one. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool game. You can definitely tell elements of the last one. It's just more updated. You can do more tricks. But not a bad deal. I don't know if I'd call it anything like groundbreaking, but what would be groundbreaking now unless you had like some hologram video game or something? But it's cool, man. I'd give it a 3 out of 5. Yeah. Check it out. You can definitely understand if you play the other ones where this one comes from. Lots of action and that kind of thing. So
it's got a lot of good reviews, so people like it.
Yeah. So you're a safe bet. Go and check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Oh, man. 10:29. Oh. Update on the score of the Texas versus Baylor. Looks like Baylor pulled it out 93-85. How are you? College hoops enthusiasts. You see, our Jason Kelsey retired.
Yeah, I saw that. How'd you feel about that?
I don't care.
I don't either.
He's got a Super Bowl ring, man. So he's good.
Yeah.
And I like Jason Kelsey, but
Yeah, that's a pretty memorable career, especially as a lineman. You know, being a lineman that people know is impressive enough. But they're down in the trenches, work hard, got a Super Bowl ring, got a really badass podcast that people tend to like. Definitely the more favorable, in my opinion, of the two Kelce brothers. So, congrats on a nice career.
There you go.
Man, think about that. 13 years of a professional, that's your career, working 13 years. I mean, he did shit before that, I'm sure, college maybe, but, and then you're retiring with so many millions. I should have tried to play football.
Hey, you got to think, though, man. How's his life going to be after the NFL, man? He's down there in the trenches, and it's like, hope CTE don't get him. That's the kind of thing that'll get you.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about the NFL and being a pro wrestler and things that I thought I wanted to do and never ended out doing it. Maybe I would have never made the NFL anyways, but pro wrestling, maybe I would have done good on that. Probably be wrestling in high schools and shit.
But, hey, man, that'd be cool.
Yeah, would have been a cool gig, but didn't work out. But, I'm also hopefully have most of my brain intact still.
Yeah, those guys get fucked up too, man. A lot of concussions and that kind of thing. I was watching that movie, the Von Erichs.
God, I need to watch that.
It's not that good.
Oh, it's not?
Well, it kind of sucks as you know what happens, Like, if you're like right. You or me, you're just kind of like, Zac Efron looks all kinds of fucked up in that movie, though.
You're not going to get a happy ending, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. Of course not. They all fucking died except one of them, right? So
yeah, it's a little rough.
It's rough, but I don't know. There was no other movies to really see. But I should have went and saw The Beekeeper. That's not a bad movie because I saw that later on. Anything with Jason Statham in it's going to be good,
He's a badass, man. He really is.
Yeah, all the Transporter movies are good. Almost anything with him in it, it's not going to be bad. He's going to be kicking ass, And
yes!
But, it was not a bad movie. Beekeeper's pretty good. I would recommend it. Check it out. Not a bad movie. What was the name of that? The Claw? Was that right?
Was it the Iron Claw or was it just...
Iron Claw, yeah. I think you're right, yeah. Claw.
Yeah.
Not that good.
Not disappointing. There's very few pro wrestling movies. The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke was really good. I had enjoyed that. Then Dark Side of the Ring back in the day. Not the Dark Side of the Ring. I'm sorry. That's the show. What was it? It was one with Mick Foley and Bret Hart. It showed the backstage shit that they did. The whole Montreal screw job thing. They were filming that. Wrestling with Shadows. Wasn't that the documentary? Back in the late 90s, me and my friends went to the theater and saw it. It was really good. Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows is a documentary. And, really good.
Did you see Ready to Rumble?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was dumb.
I think I missed that one. I definitely didn't see it. Is that David Arquette, right?
Yeah.
Man, he's kind of weird.
Yeah, he's definitely a little bit weird. When they had David Arquette, was he just a big wrestling fanboy? And
I think so, yeah.
Because I'm looking at him right now. It says American actor and former professional wrestler. I mean, when they put him in WCW, that was when it all went downhill. It was the dumbest thing in the world. WCW was shit when that happened, and they had such a good angle with the NWO going, and they got Bret Hart, which I'm probably in the minority. I'm not a Bret Hart fan. I always thought he was boring as hell, but a lot of people liked him. They've sent him to WCW and they just fumbled the bag with his ass. So then they let David Arquette win a championship when you have guys like Kevin Nash and Bret the Hitman Hart back there. Man, what a joke. So, but he must have been a huge wrestling fan and paid his way into that because, you know, Ready to Rumble, he got to be the WCW champion. What a weird turn of events back in the late 90s with WCW.
Yeah, and then his brother, and he like fall off of the damn thing and die. Jesus.
Really?
Owen Hart, yeah.
Oh, Bret Hart, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking David Arquette's brother.
Owen Hart. I was thinking Bret Hart, Owen Hart, yeah.
Yeah, Owen Hart. Man. That was sad because he was actually an entertaining wrestler. Owen Hart, very good technician. 34 years old when that happened. Man, that's sad.
Yeah, that's sad. I saw the, I believe it was the Dark Side on that, which I think.
Yeah, I watched that one.
They did him all kinds of wrong, man. So, well, I believe his wife ended up suing the WWF for like $18 million or something, which it's a lot of money, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, relatively for that, that was.
They fucked up because they didn't have the right harness. You know, it was all wrong. Like they hired another company to come in there and do it up because I think the first one they weren't going to do it or some shit. Mr. Enigma wants to call in. All right, go ahead and call in, man. Let's see if we can pick you up here. See what you got to say. What's going on? How you doing tonight, man? Hello.
What up, Mr. Enigma?
I may have some technical difficulties. How you doing, man?
I see him on the line, but I don't hear him. Mr. Enigma going once, going twice. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with him. Microphone might be technical difficulties, guys. I think there's a new season of the Dark Side of the Ring going to be coming out here soon. So he's going to try back again. Mr. Enigma, what's up? I think he's having some issues here with his microphone or something. Hello, Mr. Enigma.
Yeah, we can see him in the chat. Owen fell off his harness and landed head first on turnbuckle and died. Yes, indeed, he did. And I wasn't paying attention to the chat, but Bret Hart was good to watch, but he was no front runner. Absolutely accurate on that. I'm in a minority. I've gotten into arguments with people on wrestling message boards about Bret Hart's status. Mr. Enigma, we see you on. Can you hear us? You're not muted. You might be on your personal phone.
Hello. Hello. Man, I need a new microphone, bro, or something.
Oh. Hello? Hello?
Mr. Enigma, what's up?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, yes. What's
going on? What's on your mind tonight?
Sorry about that. Yeah. No, I like y'all's conversation. No, I was going to say, like, you know, Owen Hart, what happened to Owen Hart was that before the show, they were missing with a couple of different harnesses. And the harness that they went with was actually a faulty harness. And they found out it was a faulty harness and they were having issues with it. So that's why the family sued for so much money and stuff. And they won. I mean, it was a horrible thing. Like, even the fans were like, I don't know if y'all saw that episode, if y'all were there live when it happened, but like watching that episode, it was just like everybody was just in like stunned, dead silence. I have never seen a crowd of people get so silence and stunned. They didn't know if it was a part of the show or was it real. Did it really happen?
Now, were you watching it on pay-per-view live? I was in junior high at the time, high school, but
I watched it on a pay-per-view, and it was interesting because back in those days, you know, pay-per-view, then they never cut it off. It was straight live happening and stuff. So like the whole time I remember sitting there watching it like, what the hell just happened? I'm like, okay, this is crazy. This is interesting.
Yeah. And it was always almost foreboding in a way because it was over the edge. That was the pay-per-view, right? And so what a weird term for that.
Very ironic.
Yeah, that perfect word for it, ironic. So,
very ironic. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I remember that as well, though. And remembering JR come back and talking mm-hmm. about it and breaking that news. And it was, you know, I was still a kid at the time. And I was like numb about it. Like, what? What? Mm-hmm. It's kind of your escape was pro wrestling. And then actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I still love watching it. I mean, like, as much as I know, like 50% of it's fake and the other 50% they're doing, really putting their bodies out on the line, doing the tricks sure. and stuff. You know, it's entertaining. I love it because it's just entertaining. It's fun to watch. You know, and I prefer, like, honestly, I love watching it live compared to TV. There's just something about watching it live compared to watching it on TV. It makes it more exciting because it's actually right in front of you.
Yeah. It's great, man. It's one of our favorite things to talk about here and how good it was. Big part of what I loved back in the 90s and 2000s. I don't watch as much as I used to, but still, I'll check it out when I can. So, yeah, that's...
I enjoyed the blood. I mean, like watching the blood when they got bloody, like the fights when they got bloody, that was so sure. entertaining. Yeah. Like, and nowadays, like recently, I mean, like they started making it more like kid friendly. So they cut out a lot of the blood and a lot of like the violence they had in it compared to the 90s. And, you know, yeah, sure. You know, they found their niche, you know, they were selling to the younger crowd, but then they forgot, like, to me, wrestling forgot its main crowd. They kind of like strayed away from what made wrestling slash entertainment or entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. They've kind of distanced themselves from that for a different product. To me, the one thing I struggle getting into it now is because it doesn't feel like an escape. It feels like I'm actually watching a pro wrestling match as opposed to actually being in that world. Where I feel like I used to get lost and actually believe the Undertaker was a dead guy. From even when I knew it was still scripted, I could at least get lost in the story, almost like I was watching a movie. Where now it, you know, it just feels like watching wrestling.
Yeah. See, the one thing that really upset me, and even like Sting, like he called it out. He called McMahon out, and you know I'm glad he did. He called on it because. We, the fans, we were robbed one of the most important matches that should have happened, that never did happen because McMahon refused to let it happen, and that is The Undertaker versus Sting. Never happened. Really upset. Really upset at fans because that would have been like, just imagine, you know, definitely pay-per-views would have been sold out with that. You know, the storyline building that they had great opportunities to make a great storyline with it, and they just like
sure
pissed it down the drain for God knows what reason. I would never understand why McMahon. I mean, especially because McMahon's a businessman. He's a businessman first. And he loves making money, and he pissed a multi-million-dollar, possibly a billion-dollar deal down the drain. For God knows what, he never gave a straight answer, and I never understood that. Even Sting, like, you know, it's funny because like. My dad actually did Sting's x-ray after like one of the shows that Sting did. He actually cool. broke his leg. It was really cool. My dad got to meet him and do his x-ray stuff. And my dad was like, my dad kind of made me laugh because he's like, oh yeah, he came in. He was like crying and freaking out and stuff. I did the x-ray. I was like, dude, you'll be all right. You don't have to cry like that, dude. It's just a fracture, like a practically like a hairline fracture. It's not that bad. You'll be up and about in no time. Right.
That's cool, man. What a story.
Yeah, my dad was like, yeah, he was being kind of a baby about it, but it's like, I get it. You know, he fractured his leg, but he was like over exaggerating. I started laughing. I was like, really, dad? He's like, yeah, he kind of over exaggerated that.
That's cool. The
characters back then were a lot more compelling anyway. I had way better characters than they do now. So,
you know, it's funny because like I had met him years later after my dad met him. And I was talking to him it was like a Comic-Con convention. And I asked him, I was like, hey, I'm not sure if you remember, but a few years ago or many years ago, you were performing in Corpus Christi and you got hurt and you had to go get an x-ray. He's like, oh yeah, I do remember that. That's all. Well, I don't know if you remember, but the man who did your x-ray was actually my dad. My dad said that he'll never forget that moment that he met you. You know, it was one of his highlights of his career was meeting a wrestler, you know, meeting somebody famous. And he said that you were nice to him, polite to him. And he joked around with you and you joked around with him, and he thought about it, he got quiet, and he's like, you know what? I do remember your dad. Your dad was really awesome. He's like, man, your dad was like one of the few people that I actually do remember from the hospitals that I visited. Your dad was, he was a really cool guy. He just, you know, he played it real chill. He wasn't like the other doctors fawning over me and crap. He just played it real cool, played it real chill, was very professional. And I really appreciate that. You tell your dad I said hi.
That's so cool, man.
He's like, next time I come to town, dude, definitely take your dad to the show. And so I would love to see your dad again. And unfortunately, my dad got sick with cancer. He died. I never got a chance to take him to a show. But Steve remembered my dad. I was really shocked. I was like, wow, you actually remember my dad. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
So my dad was thrilled when I told him that he actually remembered him.
Man, what a professional. That's a meaningful moment. And what a tip of the hat to what a great guy Sting seems to be.
Yeah, he was great. I actually, you know, I got his autograph on two collectible action figures. The one where he's dressed like the Crow when he did the whole like Crow series. Yeah. And then I got him in the Elite. That's the WWE Defining Moments Elite action figure. And then the other one's the Defining Moment is his Hall of Fame when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame, where he had the red like trench coat on. So right. I have those two action figures autographed by Steam. He was super really cool about it too. He was like really shocked that I brought those. He's like, hey, these are really cool. And so these are the first ones I've seen today that somebody's brought me these action figures. Like, hell yeah, I'll sign them. And he did like a custom autograph on them for me too. And he put both of them in different color ink. So it was really cool.
Yeah, man. That's really cool. That's
that was awesome, man. Thank you for sharing your stories, Mr.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, tune in with us next week. We're going to do a little more wrestling deep dive, and we'd love to have you on. And
Oh, dude. I got plenty of wrestling stories for y'all, too. Don't worry.
So,
thank you for your call, sir. You have a great night.
Stick around as we kind of wind down, and we'll get you back on next week.
All right. Thank you to Mr. Enigma for calling.
Absolutely. Shout out, Mr. Enigma.
Man, what a good show tonight that we have had. You ready for this week, Jay Wig?
Ready for it. A little travel, a little bit of getting out Saturdays with you and some of the other boys, the fighting boys. So we'll have a good time. I think we'll settle on the pizza pie. I'll message you as we get off here. But if any of you other guys and gals out there in the chat room, like Mr. Enigma, want to share your stories of wrestling, nostalgia, the UFL, or any other things we talk about, please don't be shy. Take after Mr. Enigma. We've had some great guests on. Hop on. We'll be back next week to do it again. We'll definitely do a little bit of a recap on some 90s wrestling, man. That really brings back a flood of memories. So, one more time, shout out Mr. Enigma for sharing your stories.
Shout out.
You ready for the week, Grant Mills? What you got going on?
So, just getting out there. Same shit, man. Doing visits. Getting out there, working, making that money. You going out to training tomorrow, and then when are you coming back?
Yeah, I'll be back Thursday evening. So just a quick little turnaround, leave tomorrow, little travel day. Wednesday's the big day, just a lot of conferences, and talking and meetings. And then half a day on Thursday, heading out around noon, I believe, to drive back. So be a full couple days. I took Friday off, so.
Hope you got all your meal prep ready.
You know what? It's going to be Chick-fil-A and Chipotle all week.
Oh, yeah. So you got any words of wisdom before we get out of here tonight?
You know I always got some words of wisdom. Abraham Lincoln once said, in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
Pretty good, yeah. I'm out of here. I love baby, and I talk about money all the time. I can't change my time about you. I'll let it play.
Little whisk.
All right. Hey. All y'all out there, check out the old episodes. Hit the subscribe button. Every night, every Monday night, 9:30. In the Dirty. Tune in. Scintillating conversation and whatnot. Game reviews. Shit like that. We just talk shit. We take calls too as well. So hope all you guys have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. See you next Monday, 9:30 Central Time. Until then, bye.